Good evening, Patriots. A couple things right off the top. Bards Fest. Tickets are now available for both the indoor and the outdoor venue on bardsfm.com. That's /Bards Fest, or you can go right up to bardsfm.com top bar and hit Bards Fest. You'll see both venues are available Monday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's a little bit of write up there. The speaker list is growing pretty immensely, and we'll get some updates here as to the daily schedule, but most speakers are speaking on both venues different days, just so you know. And it's going to be quite a spectacular. We're getting super excited, and it's really going to be something else to behold. I will tell you, this is truly God's event, and we're treating it that way. We are praying for it to be the greatest spiritual awakening in human history, and we are listening very closely and just following where our heart leads us, which seems to be the true path as God wants us on. So we encourage everybody to be part of it, to share this as wide and as far as possible. You know that there's a promo video available now, and we'll get that up on the website here real soon. And that's over on YouTube, so share that as well. And there's more of those coming. So lots of great things happening. It's going to be an amazing festival. We want to also pray, as we will here in a moment. I'm going to make a prayer for that festival and for Missouri. There seems to be a bit of an attack going on at the state level of evil trying to force more COVID rules upon the state. And it's coming, as would be expected. It's coming from one party. I really just decided not to even mention parties by name anymore, because they're all a bunch of Luciferian whores anyway. So we'll have a prayer here in just a moment. The other thing is MyPillow with Mike Lindell, who is truly one of America's great patriots and CEOs. He's somebody to really look at as far as the standards in which we would expect a company to be run. It's not perfect, but definitely what he's doing is striving to new levels of putting nation first, God first above all things. Making sure everybody absolutely knows where he stands, and he doesn't hesitate to continue to fight for his country and fight with God in his heart and build a great company in the process. And we want to just continue to support him. This is kind of part of the first major shift that we make in this new economy. We're using MyPillow as kind of a vector of what we, the direction we want to go with those types of CEOs. So you can go to MyPillow.com and use an amazing code, promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, and get amazing sales. MyPillow has contributed over $70,000 now to BARDSfest. It's amazing. So they're being unbelievably generous. So I just encourage all patriots to continue to support them as much as possible. You can get all sorts of great products there, pillows, sheets, comforters, doggy beds, and, of course, your My Slippers, which you're going to need on the 27th because that's Slipper Revolution Day. So there you go. I just want to make and also some real special thanks to the continued support that we get from the five doctors, the five Ds, and Dr. Sherry Tenpenny for all of her efforts that she does. There's just a lot of things that are going on behind the scenes in amazing ways to support BARDSfest. Promotion, marketing, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and Dr. Eric Napudi are out here on the front lines going to some of the biggest channels they can get on to promote BARDSfest. It's just there. We have an army assembling, and I think it's important to point out. And it's truly an army of amazing God-called patriots, and it is all of that. And we are all part of it, and we're pushing forward in such an amazing way. Dr. Tenpenny, of course, has taken some of the most brutal front attacks in the recent weeks, thanks to her truth-telling in front of the Ohio legislature, which, by the way, every single thing that she mentioned and more has come out since as 1,000% true. These dirtbags, I mean, that are attacking her, I have no mercy on what becomes of them. Sorry. I mean, they've threatened her life. They've threatened her team. It's not. It's just keep your prayers up for her, please. It's unacceptable. And this is not. And I really hope that. I hope that God has a hand in making sure that this justice that comes opens their eyes in a way that they cannot avoid but looking at the truth. And what the truth is that they've been trying to bring down upon society. So before we start, let's start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time here. And this evening, Father, we just ask that you'll guide us in the deeper understanding and wisdom that you have for us this evening, to continue to open our eyes, to continue to build these hedges of protection around the many efforts that patriots are fighting for, to ensure the glory and success of BARDSfest, to build a hedge of protection around all that is going on there, and to continue to build that by your will, to make sure that the world understands that there is no stopping the glory which we seek to bring in your name and your honor. We pray for the continued success and work of Mike Lindell and his work at speaking truth in this nation. And we pray for Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and all of her staff that continue to fight for truth, exposing what is going on, and all of her five doctors that are with her, that they may continue to build the strength in Christ that they must have to continue through this, to keep strong in this day. So we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. We start tonight with Matthew 7:12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. We are very much in that time right now with the obvious narrow gate and wide gate standing right before us. And there's no question that that narrow gate is increasingly getting more rugged and more difficult to climb. It's a challenging path that's ahead of us. And it's going to require that each and every one of us stays strong in what we do and stays true to our love in Christ. Dr. Tenpenny sent this to me earlier from one of her discussion groups she has, and I'm going to share it tonight. I think it's very well written perspective on where we sit right now. We are in the days that the early church longed to see. There is a remnant of believers who refuse to align with the Babylonian system. This company of passionate, wholehearted lovers of God will be small in number and will demonstrate supernatural power. Their hearts will be fearless, loving not their lives unto death, living only for the audience of one. Their pursuit to worship Him with extreme obedience and to help others find Him. They will be lovesick for His presence. We must choose daily who we will serve, a system or a Savior. It's just a really beautiful insight into where we currently are right now. And it is truly that. We must choose whether we are going to serve a system or a Savior. That choice is made every single day. And I think it's a reminder as we hear this administration and this current Luciferian order that has seized control of the government, as they push to get everybody injected and go to door knocking to try to persuade people to move away from the strength that they stand in or wherever they stand in, as choosing not to take the injection. It is a choice that we make every single day. And if you think about it, it's not a difficult walk to get to their side. And I think that's what is so profound in this, is that as long as we adhere to this path and we hold to this, we will be okay. But that line that we walk is just off the edge of where they are. And as we walk this line, it's an easy reach to throw your shoulder even across that line to say, okay, I just give me the shot. And I think that's an interesting way of looking at what has happened to those who have walked with Christ and suddenly decided that they want to take the shot. They have done so in a way of literally trying to walk on one side with God and reach across, like pushing their body across slightly over that line to say, okay, I'll take it, and then try to slip back over and say, I'm here, everything's good, as if God would not know. These are very demanding times. And they're going to be very hard on families as we face what's coming. The one thing as we talk about this injection, and I'm always of two sides on this, meaning two voices of the same. First of all is the point of accountability. And I will always be harsh on this, and I will probably be smacked around by God at some point for saying this, but they're idiots for doing it. And they were irresponsible in a level that I can't imagine that they chose to walk away from God and not put their faith in God to heal all things. Weakness is the language that they spoke when they did this, because they didn't have the spine to stand as true believers in the power of Christ and healing, and they didn't have the spine to stand as Christians in this world. That said, the next part of this is, even though they have done such a thing, it continues to be our mission to hold true through the love of Christ and the strength of God, to stand firm in that position, to never waver, and to try to encourage them to come back. But they have to choose. And I would say this, and I think this is a fair statement, that we'll never stop fighting to try to bring back as many as possible to the Lord. But we will never cross the line which gives them the opportunity to take us down into their pit of hell. That's what makes us strong, because we can literally imagine walking the edge of a cauldron of a volcano. We can walk that edge around boldly. We can stride around without fear. And we know that whatever we're going to do, we will try to do the best to do what to others as they would do to, as we would want done to us. Fearlessly, we will walk that edge. And even if that footing gets a little slippery, we know that we'll be okay, because we have our absolute trust and faith in God. But we'll never jump into the cauldron. So very much like the story of Lazarus, which I like to bring up many times, and where the king is in Hades, and Lazarus is with Abraham. Now, we will, unlike that story, we're trying to get people still out of the pit, and they, but these people have to climb. But very much like the king and Lazarus, many of them are in the pit simply saying, what do I do? Bring me something. Bring me something. We can't. This is their choice and their walk to make, and they must make that decision. As difficult as it is for us to be on that upper edge, the only way we get through this is we have to remember that we are not of this world. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? This is where I think the story has to make a turn. And the story is for us and what we've been doing. And this has been weighing on my heart a lot lately. And it begins by understanding kind of the metaphor I was just using, which is that we're walking on the edge of a cauldron, and we are. And we're fighting off their doubts and their rejection of God and their rejection of the truths that we bring. And no matter how we speak to them, they seem to close their hearts. In that sense, they're trapped by the matrix. And no matter how we walk, this force that's around us keeps coming. And it keeps pushing the fear of more of the same. It keeps trying to paint the picture of a doom of yet another Delta or another Epsilon Delta or whatever nonsense they're going to feed. And this is going to be the new variant that's going to wipe out the world. Let me propose something else here. And that is that we do, as is said, we are not of this world. So let us not play their game. When we talk about the realities of the injection, that's one thing. It's important to understand the prospects of what will happen. And it's important to appreciate that what has happened here is life-threatening. It is threatening not only to life in the physical, but life in the spiritual. This injection is designed in the most heinous ways. And the more things that are revealed and the more that's studied, every single nightmare, it just seems to be a Pandora's box of sorts of nightmares. And that begins to beg a question. We have the power to move a mountain from here to there. That's the power of faith. So my question is, are we misconstruing our faith and creating this problem ourselves? Now listen to me on this, because this is as to do with, you've heard me refer to before, how is that what I truly believe is that God gave us a quantum soul. That we are able, if we are truly able, to live in this place, and we truly have faith as God asks us to, what is it of this world that can control us? And the answer should be nothing. And yet, so much is controlling us. That they are constantly pushing upon us the narrative and outcome which they know we now know. And the more that we push into truth, the more that they start revealing that our truth is true. And it's a perpetual cycle. It becomes an OODA loop to where as we push, they add. As we push, they reveal. And the more that we dig and the more we look for, the more we discover. So that's a reality. But what if we stopped playing? What if instead all of our focus was healing? If all of our focus was on prayer? If all of our focus was on disregarding everything the media said, everything that's coming out of these reports, I'm not discounting the truths here that we're facing, but I always end up with these same questions that I've had all along in this COVID nonsense. And I'll give you a few. One, where are the bodies? Two, where are the families? Three, where are the funerals? Four, where are the caskets? 5, where are the urns? 6, where are the services? 7, where are the angry families on TV? You see, when you're supposed to have like 300,000 people drop dead from all of this nonsense, you have to ask some basic questions. How is it 300,000 people seemingly have no families? That still puzzles me immensely. Now, either there's 300,000 people that are walking brain-dead zombies and have no emotions and have willingly accepted the fact that their families died in isolation or being stacked on top of each other in nursing homes, which means that there are 300,000 truly evil families out here, which I have a hard time believing, because even those that claim to be of the Luciferian order at some level have some compassion for at least their own, of their own bloodline. So who is it here that we're actually dealing with? And I don't have this answer, and I'm not speculating to say there is a mistruth in these deaths, though I would say there is, just by the fact that people are flipping coding on the medical side. But the bigger issue is, what is our accountability in this process? If we can move a mountain from here to there, and the faith of a mustard seed can literally transform anything, and if we are living by this principle that ask and it will be given, and to save, how much more will Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? What happens if all of our thoughts are to the negative? What is delivered? This is a very difficult point here, but it's one that we have to ask very deeply. Are we perpetuating a problem based on the belief systems that they are putting upon us? The Luciferians in this order are always about information, they're always about fear, and they're always about building anxiety. They always telegraph what they want. Why do they do that? Do they do that because they want to be released from the obligation and accountability to God? The answer could be yes. Or is it something even more simple but yet more draconian? That they know the power in which God has given us, that we truly have a quantum-type soul. That in the sense of moving a mountain from here to there, we can also move a mountain on top of ourselves. And that would mean that the projection that they're doing is intentional to use the greatest gift that God could ever give us, which is the power of faith, to use it as a weapon against us by our own free will. See, that in its sense makes a lot of sense in terms of, that in itself makes a lot of sense in the Luciferian order, because everything is about turning it on its head. They don't seek to destroy us. They seek to have us destroy ourselves. Why? Because they cannot destroy us. They don't have the power to destroy us because we are the children of God. God made us in his image, and therefore they have no possible way of destroying us. In fact, worse, they must bow to us if you think about this. This is not untrue. For within our hearts is Christ, and for within us is the power of God. So that means that the Luciferians must themselves bow to us. Evil must bow to us. And in a true sense, if we truly understood our true inheritance, that would mean what? That even Lucifer himself would be on his knees before us. So that being said, we have to stop destroying ourselves. We have to begin the focus of moving forward, of building an image of a future that we want, and we have to celebrate the greatness that God gave us. I had a discussion earlier this evening on a difficult topic of somebody in the family who has taken the injection, and it's emotional for those around because they're accepting the fact that they're coming to grips with the fact that this person and their children could pass away. But something was said in that meeting that struck me, and that is, I'm having a hard time believing this, and yet, maybe it's just that I don't want to accept it. And I had to sit back for a minute and think about something. And that's where a lot of this thought began. Am I programming an outcome by convincing people that their others are going to die? Am I contributing to the enemy's plan, the Luciferian trap? What an amazing trap it would be. That by suggesting, by leaving to be discovered through my own research, by my own research to discover what things could happen because they set those traps there, They only become manifest as reality because we believe them so much that we believe them more than we believe in healing. Think about that. How much effort do we put in believing that we can heal? How much effort do we put into believing that we can overcome this? So let's go back to that piece that was written that I shared with you just a moment ago, and let's reflect on what these words are again. We are in the days that the early church longed to see. There is a remnant of believers who refuse to align with the Babylonian system. This company of passionate, wholehearted lovers of God will be small in number and will demonstrate supernatural power. Their hearts will be fearless, loving not their lives unto death, living only for an audience for of one. Their pursuit is to worship him with extreme obedience and to help others find him. They will be lovesick for his presence. We must choose daily who we will serve, a system or a savior. So, patriots, who are we serving when we serve the dish of fear? When we serve the dish of the outcome of fear, are we serving God? Are we serving our Lord and Savior? Or are we serving them in the indirect way by serving up their dish of outcomes resulting from the fear which they put into our hearts? This is where we must make the juncture, in my opinion. I believe that we now must focus on the healing. And part of this is our own issue, because each one of us knows in our hearts, if we're honest, and I will guarantee you, every person to the person will believe, will have something to admit here, and I'm going to confess it myself. No one goes without this one. That somewhere in our hearts, we have this longing that there be a justice, that these people would be given the truth, and they have to suffer a little bit to face the truth. And I've said it, and others have said it, and I believe most believe it, that we all want a little bit of justice, which is a lot closer to vengeance than justice. Every one of us. Because we're sick and tired of trying to save people. And we're all sick and tired of having to talk to them, having them slap us in the face. But we're forgetting something. And this is my own confession that I will lead in this. We are forgetting that we are not of this world. We are forgetting that in this time we are greater than this because we are of God, not of this world. So what is our purpose here? God tells us, and it's very simple. Treat others as you would want to be treated. Love your neighbor as you would want to be loved. Give aid and support to those in need. Protect the innocent. Have faith, love God above all things, walk fearlessly in this life, and never bow to evil. Those are not difficult tasks to do, and yet nowhere in there does it say, when the Luciferian Order tells you to have fear, and when you discover that the Luciferian Order has implanted all sorts of goodies inside of an injection, that you are to now walk through that conclusion and perpetuate a conclusion of death. We can frame it scripturally. There is no issue. We can frame this as an end of times. We can frame this in terms of revelation. We can frame this in terms of some sort of variance of Moses' walk, of the past night of Passover. We can do many things. But the question is really, where are we in this walk? And what is it that our true belief is? What do we truly want? And I think that's what this all centers on. If we truly seek to have an exodus from this Luciferian order, we know that God is not wanting to just have an exodus of a few. He wants the exodus of a many. And we also know that no matter what we do, some will remain. We know that. But we should desire and want every single person to be healed that chooses to walk into the light of Christ. And that power is a power that we can affect by our own belief and our own prayers. I think it's bigger than that potentially. I think if we really let go of all of our own angst, I think if we really let go of our anger, our frustration, a little tinge of wanting to get back and show them that you were right and I was right. I think if we are truly selfless and loving in our hearts, I think most of what we're witnessing would just pass away. Most of this fear would go away. Most of the healing would manifest. And in the end, we would never get recognized, which is exactly as it should be. And all of this would just kind of drift away, and the awakening would happen, and many would come back to Christ. But that's going to take a level of commitment and faith in us unlike anything we've ever had. But for me, the more that I think about it, oh, I'm still going to have good material and still going to call them idiots for doing it. Trust me. Because they are. It was ridiculous what they did. And the choices that they make that put the burden on all of us to try to fix it. But at the same time, maybe we are supposed to be doing what we're doing. Maybe the whole time this remnant is exactly as it should be. That it was never really a burden, but a necessity of why we are here. That God put us here for this very reason. Not because we're special, but because he trusts that we would help bring the many out of the darkness. And that's part of being a remnant. It's not about getting the awards and the accolades or the ticker tape parade. It's about being the healers of the heart, the healers of the soul, and to do that through prayer and worship and absolute faith in him. I think that's a challenge we all should take. To put our faith in truly moving a mountain from here to there, because the mountain right now is the mountain of healing and the mountain of salvation. And if we put our prayers to that, let us pray that the hearts awaken, that those that have damaged our temple are healed, and that the many stand, and that the many accept Christ in their heart, and that that all of the parts of God are reclaimed. That's a worthy prayer. And that's a worthy walk to make in this time. Not division, but unification. Not individualism, but strength in him. Not hatred, but love through Christ. Not weakness or fear, but strength of a warrior that only Christ can bring. And a warrior is fearless. Let us be fearless in this time. Let us pray for the healing, and let us bring the temple of Babylon to the ground. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray in this time that we can find the way forward here, not to be passive, not to be stuck in a pew or a chair, but to realize that our true strength in this fight is to press in with the truths that would be spoken by Christ, with the parables of truth that we can deliver to awaken the hearts and minds, and the strength in prayer to heal the many. Let us leave our bits of anger and desires for justice and revenge to the side. Let us embrace truly all that you are and all the love that you bring, and let us remember that we are not of this world. And so let us not be consumed by this world. Let us serve you, Lord, not a system. Let us serve you, Lord, fearlessly, not dealing with the outcomes of fear and anxiety. And let us walk with Christ in our heart, in the body of Christ, in this world, to bring the healing to the many and opening the hearts of all those that will listen. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. A lot to consider. It's a perspective and one worth thinking about, I think. Because we don't want to be the problem. And as much as we go through scripture, I think we can agree that we can either have a biblical event like Sodom and Gomorrah, or we can have a biblical event where the many come and take and bow before him in prayer, in unity, humbled by all that's given, embracing Christ in our heart. That to me seems like a lot better outcome for all of us. Because if we want Sodom and Gomorrah, there's always going to be the few that can't resist and have to look back and get turned to salt, a pillar of salt. Let's pray for the many. Let's pray for the healing of the many. And in so doing, let's set us all free. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent, and always press into this fight. This is a challenging one. And it's going to be through prayer and focus and letting go of what we want and realizing that we are serving God in all things, not just partially, not just a little bit, not with an exception, but God in all things. For God is with us. He will never forsake us. And in the end, God will win. But let it be all of us, not just a handful. Have a blessed evening, Patriots. I'll be back tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then, or until the next time. Thank you. Good night. God bless. And out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights spent pushing through, fight for all we had to lose, reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now. We're on the edge of a moment, been out of our depth, now we're diving in. The light up ahead, we're running to it. We're on the edge, now we're diving in. Stay a while and you'll see that every broken dream fits together. Sets down over the hill where the lost got found, reaching through somehow. Oh, you're an island when the world is too loud. When the seasons change, I know the space between us will stay the same. Resting on this faith, when your soul answers calls far away.
the freeway, let it ease my mind. We run away sometimes when belonging becomes something to find. We always come back to what we know. Keep it close on the cold days, darling. Counting all the ways where you are a safe place to hide from the rain.